PHP BB Weekly is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com.
And welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 36. Today is Saturday, October 27, 2007. This is the 36th episode of PHPBB Weekly, where we talk about everything regarding PHPBB. And I am one of your co-hosts, David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life. Douglas Bell, the other co-host, is not with us today. I believe he was on a flight from Los Angeles to San Francisco this morning, and they canceled his flight, and so he is stuck in Los Angeles, last I heard. So I will be hosting this podcast by myself, but I do have a great group of friends with me today. I have Techie Michael, also known as Michael Cunningham, or actually Michael Cunningham, I should say, and also known as Techie Michael from the support team. Welcome, Michael.
Howdy.
And I also have Paul from the modifications team. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, David.
And as usual, when I'm doing my podcast alone, I have Francis, also known as Handyman, with me. Welcome, Francis.
Hello.
And just to get some stuff out of the way, PHPBB Weekly is not affiliated directly with PHPBB.com or the PHPBB teams. It is an independent podcast produced by Douglas Bell and David Lewis. And for more information, you can go to PHPBBweekly.net and view some of the older podcasts or listen to some of the older podcasts, view show notes, and or ask us a question on there. PHPBB Weekly is a live participation podcast every Saturday at 12 p.m. noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, which is also 1600 UTC time. So if you're wondering what time is that on my side of the world, 1600 UTC time, and try and calculate it from there. To call in to participate, you can dial 724-444-7444. Podcast ID is 12418, and then enter your PIN number. And then you can push the request to talk button, and you will be next up in the queue to talk, and we'll let you ask a question there. You can also join us in the chat if you've signed up for the TalkShoe. If you've signed up on the TalkShoe website, you can load up the TalkShoe client and ask us questions in the chat and participate in the chat room. The chat room is one of the most exciting parts of PHPBB Weekly because we get a lot of participation there from people listening in. You can also stream the podcast off the PHPBB or off the TalkShoe website. This week, however, we are having a lot of technical difficulties with TalkShoe. It was not liking my connection or something, thinking that I was behind a firewall, I guess, and so it was not streaming through my computer, so I could not record it. I tried to let Handyman do it, but for some reason he wasn't able to do it either. So we are doing a Skype conference this time. I actually like Skype conferencing because it's a little bit higher quality than the TalkShoe client. TalkShoe has just frustrated me to no end, but it's TalkShoe is our way of making it the live participation podcast that has made PHPBB Weekly so popular. But anyway, this time we are doing it over Skype. So
we are still in the chat room, so we do expect some participation in there.
Yeah, and I've got my mic on so people can still hear me talk, though. No promises on hearing everybody else talk. So, but it's not it. The episode will be uploaded as usual. The PHPBB Weekly episode number 35 is not uploaded yet. Some people may have noticed that. Douglas, I think, just hasn't gotten a chance to edit it and stick it online yet. But that should come up sometime this next week. Hopefully, in the next few days. But like I said, he got stuck in Los Angeles, and so it's kind of hard to say what happened. But all right. So I actually did not come prepared for this podcast because I thought that Douglas was going to go ahead and head this one off. because I had last week's. So he emailed me late last night and said, hey, I'm not going to be there. And I'm like, oh, great. So I scrambled this morning when I got the email, and I've got a group of friends together, but we have no topics. So we're just going to discuss PHPBB, whatever comes to our minds. One of the things that we were talking about before the show was, you know, what are some of the things that we like about PHPBB 3? And what are some of the things that we don't like about it? And Handyman, you were mentioning the hook system. What do you like or what do you don't like about the hook system? This is for all of you, too. But.
Honestly, I haven't really gotten a chance to use it. It wasn't really what I was expecting. I was expecting it would be for basically mods to be kind of plug and play instead of being installed. However, the module system still does that pretty well, so that's certainly still usable. So that's currently what I use, so I can still get around it. However, it looks like it has made it possible for them to integrate, I believe that's Joomla with PHPBB, with their bridge. So that will be pretty cool for some folks.
Yeah, I don't know if either of you guys, Michael or Paul, had a chance to look around a little bit, but I found what's called the Rock Bridge. It's a bridge built by, I guess, a third-party Joomla programmers who are building this thing called the Rock Bridge, which will have seamless integration between Joomla and PHPBB 3, which I thought was kind of cool. Did you guys have a chance to look at it?
No, I didn't have a chance to look at it. You know how busy I am, so...
Michael, did you?
I saw you give someone a link, but I haven't had a chance to look at it with dealing with school and stuff, so yeah.
They actually have a pretty cool style for it. I'm looking forward to their PHPBB 3 style. It's really neat. we'll see that come sometime down the road. They said they're about 90% done with it, so that will be a really cool thing. And I think... my guess is that the hook system, its primary function was to allow applications such as Joomla to be able to integrate with PHPBB 3 seamlessly without, you know, modifying a lot of things. Now, of course, when you do that, you can't really integrate a third application because when the hook system, the way it's made is it really is best if it's only hooked by one separate application. If you're trying to add a separate one onto it, or a third one on, you're going to run into some problems, I think.
Yeah, it's not written for modifications. It's directly for bridges written.
Right, and which was kind of a bummer for me because the first time I saw that, I was like, oh, great, you know, this is awesome. Because this means that now all mods do not have to be made in such a way that they modify core code, which is really exciting for me because that's the biggest thing that I'm working with mod authors to do is don't modify core code. And maybe we can discuss why that's so important because it's some of the things that we have addressed recently in some mods.
Yes. With the release candidate 7, it was nearly all mods give problem with the new update. And if you have less core code modified, it's easier to update PHPBB. But also to update your own mods.
Mods integrate better when they're not editing core code. Also, so you try and keep your mod as self-contained as possible.
Yes, and it's not only for the mod author itself easier, but also for us as validators. As it's for us, we can look directly at one file, and we don't need to look at the core code. What file of what code is around it, and what does it? It's for everyone, is it a lot easier?
Yeah. And again, it's, well, you know, one of the things that, like Blinky, what we call Blinky, and many of you heard a few weeks ago when we had WG Eric on the show, he talked about the new package manager that's coming out for PHPBB 3, not called EasyMod, because it will do a lot more than EasyMod did for PHPBB 2. But basically what it will do is allow you to easily install mods that do modify some core files.
With Blinky works a lot better as EasyMod for PHPBB 2. because it's Mod X, it's the processing is a lot easier. And
yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we went with Mod X instead of staying with like a text template, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that was one of the reasons I believe that it was that we were going to over to Mod X.
Now, Handyman, you or Francis, I should just call you Francis on here. I'm so used to calling you Handyman. I've noticed really had a difficult time getting used to Mod X. You really like those text templates, don't you?
It's actually Mod X is a little difficult to create if you don't have some sort of XML program, which I did. I got an XML program in I believe it was July, so I've been creating Mod X ever since then.
I and agree. It's
yeah. There's also Mod X converters now. So what I was planning on doing was creating text files and then using the PHPBB converter to convert it to Mod X. However, that's had a bug in it, so that's worked out.
I agree. Mod X is difficult, more difficult to write as the text template. I'm a person who started with the text template, and it's easier to write text templates. But Mod X has that much advantage that you really need to learn writing Mod X and not.
Yeah, I agree. It's the power of the XML is going to be a lot greater than what the text template allowed us to do
yes.
with them. So the Blinky, the package manager alone, the integration with that will be so much better. But also, you're going to have things like... for one thing, I know Mod X is difficult to create, but the text template was harder to validate, in my opinion.
No.
You don't think? Because, I mean,
no.
you had people who were writing it wrong all the time.
No. Not. Text template is opened in my PHPB editor, and it's directly highlighted. So, from Croatus and there, I can see directly, and that's not with Mod X. So, for my opinion, text template is easier to validate as Mod X.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true, I guess. To be honest, I haven't done any PHPBB2 validation. I've only done PHPBB3 validation. I told him when I joined the team, I said, I will not do any PHPBB2 validation. I'm not familiar enough with PHPBB2 core that I'm going to be able to validate well. Because when I look at mods created for PHPBB2, when I look at the core for PHPBB2, I think, yuck, I'd invalidate the whole thing. So so it's much better that I'm just sticking with PHPBB3 validation.
Yeah. At one time, we used to use that, and I even created a mod for PHPBB2 that's currently in the mod database. So but that was a long time ago, and I don't care much for that mod. I did a terrible job on it.
I started with 2, so it's from my... when I started with PHPBB 3 or 4 years ago, there was no PHPBB 3, so yeah. Then I started with 3 PHPBB 3 just before Beta 1 or something, and yeah. For me, it's PHPBB really new, and it's not... I don't use it as long as you did.
Yeah. Michael, do you have much experience modding for PHPBB3, or have you gotten into the core much?
I'm starting to work on a few mods. I've shared with you my list of ideas. I've started on it, but with school and everything that I have going on, just haven't had much time to actually really just get into it and sit there at midnight coding type stuff. One of the things you guys talked about was trying to avoid modifying core code, but one of the mods I'm working on, or trying to, will actually modify the PHPB hash function and related functions. For me, anyway, it'd be easier if I directly modify those rather than changing the code path and worrying about edge cases, that kind of stuff. But, that's just me.
It's not always possible to not edit core code, but do it as less as possible. Use includes, using template includes. Don't add directly to template's code, but use the include. Use new language files. That kind of things.
Yeah. you know, including files or even in the style sheet. Instead of editing the style sheet, you can do the import style sheet in the main style sheet, especially for Pro Silver. You can even do it at the top of SubSilver, but you have to do it before any rules are defined. But that's another way that you can integrate that. And what the benefit of doing that is where you can it will enable the auto updater to work more seamlessly with your modified files. So if you're not updating so much code, or if you, as long as you aren't editing code, it's not going to run into conflicts, and so it will be able to perform a better merge on an update. And so mods that edit fewer core are going to make boards easier to update overall. And I think many people noticed with the RC5 to RC6, RC7 update, they found that it broke a lot of mods that modified a lot of core code because there were so many changes that it touched almost everything. And unless their mods only added code, they had to completely reinstall those mods. And Douglas wanted. Douglas just came on to Skype. He said he had a really bad flight. He landed about 1 a.m. last night, and it's about 9. It's about 9 a.m. his time right now.
10 a.m.
Yeah.
So 2 hours.
Yeah, you're right.
Behind us.
Yeah, you're right.
So
it's
he,
10.
He said he just woke up.
Yeah. He said he will have PHP Weekly, episode number 35, uploaded by the end of the day today. So.
Yes, 5 hours or so.
Yeah, so now I'll give him 2 episodes to upload at the same time. So I'll get them both uploaded.
Another long upload of a long episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of support questions answered in that one.
Yes.
Yeah,
of course, I try and stay away from support as much as possible. So,
yeah, I was
just afraid.
I think he is.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
I always gave a lot of support before I even joined the mod team, so it really wasn't. You know, I don't mind going into the support forum every now and again. I was doing a lot of support last week, and we had a team meeting, and they're like, "Why aren't you validating mods?" I'm like, "Well, I'm trying to help out the support team. You know, this RC6 or the RC7 updates were really difficult. You know, but so hopefully that got them going enough, and there's enough topics in there that people can kind of see what to do. And now I think the support team is really they're really starting to get the hang of PHPB3, which is great to see.
I will tell you, I firstly started with supporting PHPB2, but not at phpb.com, but at the Dutch site. My English isn't good enough to really support at phpb.com, and can better don't do it.
Well, I like to tell you, just stick with coding and validation. But you do well enough with both of those two. So, you know, Paul's one of our best validators, I would say.
My English, since I joined the PHPB teams, my English is a lot better. And
that's good. That's definitely a good benefit of joining the teams.
Yeah. I learned a lot, not only from coding and security, but also English, and that's, for me personally, very important.
Yeah. It's well enough to be on a podcast.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the biggest things that I work with, I work a lot with mod authors directly, and so don't spend quite as much time in validation or coding as I'd like to. But I view it as very important to help mod authors really be able to code well for PHPBB3, because every mod author is the future of PHPBB.
And important things. Mod authors need to learn PHPBB3. Coding is fairly specific. You need really good to follow the code guidelines, because you would need to use request var to prevent SQL injection and that kind of things. And if people don't read the guidelines, you need to help them to so they are going to read it. And it's also a job of the mod team, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, if you go through the coding guidelines, which are listed on area51.phvb.com, those actually, you read through that a couple times, and your code can actually be pretty good just off of reading those. You know, that gives you a pretty good idea of how to code and how to code securely also.
If I look to the mods that I see when I'm validating, I see a lot of mods that don't follow the code guidelines. And that's important, and they just don't follow them. And can that be small things, but it can also be a security issue in some kinds of issues.
And I've heard some authors say, "Oh well, coding for PHPV3 is so difficult, you know, compared to PHPV2." But I think
it is.
Yeah, but also this, you know, what it is the standard is much much higher.
Yes, and it needs to be followed. That's the important thing. Like in request var, the second parameter, if the value should be an integer, the second parameter should be an integer, and if it is a string, it can be SQL injection.
Yeah.
And that kind of things are so important. And if mod authors don't understand it, don't start with modding for PHPV3.
Yes, I agree.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, they shouldn't be afraid to start modding for PHPV3 because, yes, it does have a learning curve, but you can't get into learning it and start until you get your hands dirty and start getting into it and working with that core code and you know, making modifications for your own site at first, and then you know, like I all the mod authors that I talk to, I say read the coding guidelines at three to seven times, because when you do that and you start to really understand the coding guidelines, you'll be able to code much better and more securely.
Yes.
But even SQL injections are some of the most basic forms of security breaches that we see in mods. But
yes,
some of the more hidden things that are sometimes not as noticeable are cross-site scripting, which happens with JavaScript, and things like that. And that's one reason that you want to submit your mod to the mod database, is that those are some of the things that we'll be able to notice and some of the things that we'll be able to look for and we're used to spotting.
And SQL injection is one of the things that is mostly in mods. It's the most security issue that's found in mods.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because of wrong usage of request var.
Right. Though there are cross-site scripting injections vulnerabilities in some mods that we see, and we'll point those out. But those don't happen quite as much as SQL injections because I don't think nearly as many mods use JavaScript, for example, than they do when they're dealing with the database. I mean, everybody's dealing with the database when they're creating a mod, or almost everybody. And so there's a lot higher chance that you'll see a mod come through where it has one of those SQL injection vulnerability. So, again, that's one of the things that we look for and we'll point out to the mod authors.
Yes.
And the other thing that's cool is submitting your mod to the mod database is a great chance to learn PHPV3 because of the comments or our validation report that you'll get back if your mod is either approved or denied.
Yes, you got from the validator. It gives a lot of information or what you are doing wrong or what you can do better, of suggestions about your things that you can do better. You got a lot of information from the validator.
Right.
It will really help you.
Right. And some of the things that you'll get recommendations, you'll get tips, and some of those don't necessarily, they're recommendations, but they aren't, oh, you must do this or your mod won't be validated. Some of the things that we'll point out are your errors or things where it will directly invalidate the mod doing it, you know, coding insecurely or coding which is not aligned with the coding guidelines. But then there are some other things like we'll offer suggestions, tips, and recommendations for better optimization, for better performance, and for it enabling administrators to be able to install mods easier, all of those things.
Yes. And most mods will be approved at the first time if you submit them. They will mostly be denied one or two times before it's really approved. Just because we always, nearly always find something that's not that good that we want. We have a high requirement, and that need to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't look angry at us if we deny it for really small things.
Yeah. And again, it's just, it's not because we don't like the mod. It's not because of any other reason except that we're just looking for really high-quality mods, and we're trying to help the mod authors code really well. So they should never be disappointed when we submit a validation denial report.
And
Handyman knows about that. You've gotten some denials.
Yeah, actually, my first mod, which, like I said, still sucks, was denied about four or five times before I finally got it in there.
Yes.
I've got another mod in the database, which actually there was one issue with it, and then four suggestions, and it got denied.
I will tell you, my mod I submitted to on Montago or something was denied because it has some issues. And even my mods, I'm a mod team member, are getting denied.
Yep. And yours?
So you have to be pretty lucky to get it on your first or second time in the mod database. So
yes.
I usually say expect three or four denials before you get in.
Yeah.
It's the bigger mods take mostly more times.
Yeah, sometimes they
deny.
Sometimes
if it's a small mod, the chance is bigger that it will be approved after one or two times.
Yeah. Some may go straight through because we might, if it's real small and there's just a few things that we need to fix, we might go through and just repack the mod and fix those changes, as long as they have, you know, fix minor changes in this mod. And we'll do that instead of denying the mod, you know. But overall, if it's a medium-sized mod or larger mods, then that have problems, we'll deny those a few times until everything is corrected. And the validation process, it goes through several layers. When you first submit the mod, it goes through an initial basic validation in the first 24 hours, and then over time we validate different portions of the mod and look at different things and test it and all that stuff. So it actually hurts you if you submit a revision to your mod that, say, you submitted 2 weeks ago and you are submitting an update to that, because we may have already validated 90% or 95% of your mod and are either about to approve it or give you a report on just some of the things that you would need to change. And then just if you change those things, then your mod could be approved right away. But if you resubmit after 2 weeks and your mod hasn't finished, then we have to go through the process all over again. So it's best to wait until you get a denial report or your mod is approved before you submit an update if it's been in there for a long time. If you submit a mod and then 15 minutes later, oh, you forgot something, yeah, you can update that. That's not a problem. But if it's been there for like 2 weeks or more, don't resubmit an update.
If it's more than 1 week, the chance is big that we looked at it already and that there is a chance that we already have things for ourselves that we say that will be better. And just as longer as a week is in the queue, you don't resubmit it until we send you the PM with the information about it.
Yeah, exactly. Michael, you've been awful quiet. Do you have any comments about?
Well, given that I've only had one experience with submitting a mod to the mod database for version 2, and it didn't go well. I guess I'll have to wait and see how or if my mods are ever finished, and see how that goes.
So you're scared to submit anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul's a little intimidating.
Yeah, it can be daunting. So we got some people who just submit loads of mods. some people submit their mod, will deny it, and they'll be scared to submit it again. No, don't be afraid. Submit that mod again. We want to deny it. We want to get our big stick out and deny it. No, I'm kidding. No, we want to submit your mod so we have something to, we have a job to do, you know? And this is one thing some people think, I read this on the forums recently, or like, oh, you know, because you're a mod team member, your mod can go through really quickly. That's not the case.
That's not true.
They might actually take longer than regular mods.
Yes.
except for mine. Well, one of mine's been in the queue for about a month and a half.
My mod is currently Let Me Nuke. How long it's in the queue?
Yep. No, yours is a big one, Paul.
It's not a big one.
Well,
it's small. It's only 1,300 lines of JavaScript.
Yeah, that's a heck of a lot of JavaScript to go through.
How many lines?
3,100.
Oh my gosh.
Lines of JavaScript.
Okay. It's submitted 6th October. So.
So, yeah. That's a lot of code through. I had to go through it once already, and I got ahead. It's at the top of the queue again, and I have to go through it again now. But I have high confidence in his being able to correct all the errors that I submitted for him. So I'll just be able to look at it and go, okay, yeah, he fixed everything, and I'll be able to approve it.
I will tell you. After you validated this one, I will submit an update.
Well, that won't be so bad. I just got to get your first one out. I just, you know. But the problem for me sometimes too is I like to code myself and and help mod authors and validate. So my time is always, the time that I spend on PHPBB is always split between those three tasks. And so sometimes I don't go and just validate like 20 mods in one day or something. I might do like two.
I never validated 20 mods in one day.
No, it's hard to go through because our whole process is basically a code audit. So we go through line by line and we look at every single line of code. Some people are like, wow, man, that's a task. Yeah, it is. That's why it
takes that long time before you mod is validated.
It takes
over a month before we really validated your mod. Because we just go over line by line and see if it's have problems.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, looking at everything single line and moving on. No, you know, every line works with something else. Every function works with something else or class calls and whatnot. So we're looking at the entire, we're looking at security, functionality, performance, bugs, the whole thing, everything. So, and that is why coding your mod in such a way that it can be easily readable is very important.
Yes.
So you cannot encrypt your mod before you submit it.
No.
It will be immediately rejected.
Yeah. Well, encrypting or code it cryptic or encrypt it?
Encrypting.
Well, if you encrypt it, it would just deny it outright. You can't see the code at all.
I think it's a violation of the GPL, but I'm not sure about it.
Well, what you can do is encrypt it and release the source code along with it.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been thinking about doing with my mods is a lot of them will use a lot of JavaScript, and I was thinking about compressing the JavaScript, which, for all intents and purposes, is basically encrypting it. But I'll have the source code along with it. Doing that with the JavaScript would make it a little faster for people that don't want to sit there and download a lot.
Yeah. And since compressing it takes you a week to uncompress it.
Yeah, I suppose if the source was submitted with it, then we'd be able to.
But I think we'll approve it if it's encrypted. But
well, if it's compressed. I think that's what Michael was talking about. If it's compressed, then it's better performance, and that wouldn't be a problem as long as we can see the source.
That wouldn't be a problem. But if it's encrypted, but you still give the source, I think we don't approve it. But
yeah. Both encrypted and cryptic coding can both get you denied.
Yes, absolutely.
Some people say, I've heard some programmers say, oh, well, it was difficult to code, so it should be difficult to read. That is not true. It should not be difficult to read.
I will tell you, I have denied several times one mod because it just was unreadable to the code. I got a headache because of reading that code. Then it's really easy to deny for myself.
I'm sure Michael has dealt with plenty of security issues that were difficult enough to read.
Yeah.
Just because no new lines, no tabs, that kind of things. It's just really difficult to read the code. And if it's 100 lines of code, I just got a headache of reading it.
So in those denial messages, you just say, deny it because it was giving me a headache.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's written in that way, but yeah, it's just written. You're for Aqua PHPV 2, it need to be follow the coding guidelines. And if it don't do that, and if it follow one time, not coding guidelines, okay. And if it on the hill complete mod, don't follow the code guidelines, we can deny it for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, coding guidelines are fairly easy to install. People just need to take a few minutes to actually read them.
Yes.
But they want to program their mods like they program Java.
I never programmed Java, so I don't know it.
Java, well, yeah, and I see a lot of programmers do that. They'll take programming Java, and they'll take the same rules and apply it to PHP. You can't do that. It's a different language. It has different rules. It has different standards. Yeah, there's no one set standard for it, but for PHP BB3, we have a set standard. We have a standard that we follow. And it's actually a newer standard that's being widely accepted because PHP BB3 is not the only software application that is adopting these new standards. There's a lot of them out there that are doing that. And it's different than Java, but it's a more readable format for PHP, and you can do it and should do it.
And actually, Java can incorporate a lot of it too, so you really don't have a lot of excuses to not use it.
Well, yeah, but Java has their own standards. And again, if you're switching back to Java, you need to obey the Java coding standards, which are going to be different than PHP coding standards, and they're going to be different from PHP BB3 coding standards. And same thing with C++ or C# or Perl or, you know, all these other languages. They all have their own standards that you need to follow, and they're not going to all be the same. You know, you're not going to all have lowercase variable names separated by underscores for spaces. You might have, it might be camel case in that particular language, or like Java has, everything is lower camel case is what they call it.
Well, you know, like PHP is not, their standard is not the same as PHP BB, because like if you're using Xen to code PHP, sometimes you have to override what Xen writes so that you can remain in PHP BB standards. It's all based on cleanliness of code, you know,
Well, like I was saying, you know, you're talking about Xen Studio. Well, Xen Studio was programmed on the old coding standard.
Well, it's not old coding standard. The coding standard that we're talking about is the PHP BB coding standard, not the PHP coding standard.
Yeah, but the PHP BB coding standard is not unique. It was adopted from somewhere else. I actually saw it somewhere else before I saw the PHP BB coding standard.
The PHP BB3 coding standard, it's based off the PHP BB2 coding standard.
Right, which is a coding standard that's not just used in PHP BB. There's a lot of different PHP applications that are using a coding standard that is similar to PHP BB.
Yes.
And, you know, so the PHP BB3, PHP BB2 coding standards are not really different from the newer standards that are actually coming out for PHP BB. And yeah, there's actually two different standards that are used widely for PHP. There's the PHP BB, or the standard that basically PHP BB uses, though we've kind of perfected a little bit and expanded on that particular coding standard. As you know, some large applications like Joomla and Drupal and applications like that do. And then there's the other standard, which is more which is the standard that basically Xen Studio is using, which is still a little bit different than the coding standard that Java uses. And Java has its own coding standard, which is a little bit more standardized than the PHP standards.
Yes,
it's not easy to follow all coding standards, and if you program for program A, it's different to program as for program B, even if it's in the same language.
Yeah. Some people have difficulty switching, and, you know, that's okay, you can code for a lot of languages, but you have to use the one that's best for the job, and then you do have to yes. obey those coding standards. So, like, I can't go switch to Java and then try and use PHPBB or the new PHP coding standards on it. That's not Java standards, you know. And that's why some people come over to PHP and they try to stick with their Java coding standards for PHP, and that doesn't work for no, at least not for this application.
For no application, I think, but...
Just to butt in real quick, I briefly took a class on Visual Basic in college, and I got out of it. Teacher was a pain. But the teacher wanted us to, every time we created a button in Visual Basic, we had to put BTN on it. And then we had to put, like if we did a checkbox, we had to put check something or other in front of it. I don't remember what it was that she wanted. And she basically yelled at me because I didn't want to do that. And my code is actually a little easier to read than hers because I was following my standards. But we just, I think what that was Microsoft's standard for how they code in Visual Basic and so on. You know, just tag everything with a button or a radio or whatever the case may be. Just a real pain in the butt to deal with other people's standards if they don't match your own.
Yeah, that goes back to like the fact that I was talking about Java may have standards, but you can still use the PHPBB standard, and it's a lot easier to read. It's still very applicable. I've used it while doing like JavaScript even.
Yeah, but not that much easier. I mean, lower camel case isn't. I mean, because you like the lowercase, and I like the lowercase, doesn't mean that using lowercase in Java is actually is something that you should do. Yeah, sure. It may be slightly easier to read, but lower camel case isn't difficult to read.
Hey, somebody has to start the standard somewhere.
They have standards.
Yeah, PHP did too.
Well, the standards discussion is one that I'm sure is debated quite a bit. It's like the SQL versus SQL debate. You know, I think you have 50% of programmers calling it SQL and 50% of the other programmers call it SQL.
Yeah.
And the reason it was people say, well, it's SQL. Why call it SQL? Well, the reason it was actually originally designed SEQUEL. So it was originally SQL, but they renamed it to SQL for legal reasons. Now, the MySQL or MySQL, they insist on people calling it MySQL versus MySQL, but actually both are correct, and you can pronounce it either way. Michael might have a debate with me on that one, though.
Yeah, I prefer to call it SQL. A, because that's how it's spelled, and B, because Microsoft owns the rights to SQL.
Oh, okay, in that case, MySQL.
that's why, again, that's why MySQL or MySQL is determined to call it MySQL versus MySQL is because... Microsoft has the rights on SQL. But again, you know, and you talk to a lot of Oracle DB engineers, and we have some of those guys here at the office, and they all call it SQL. They say, well, you know, when I'm talking to a database person, I say SQL. When I'm talking to somebody who doesn't understand databases as much, I might say SQL. But 80% of the time, they're saying SQL here. At least here. I know it's different in different portions of the country, and depending on what school you graduated from and what you grew up with, but you know, everybody says it a little bit differently.
Yeah. It's also language. In all the languages, it's different sets. That's also a thing.
Like Doug...
I will say it as MySQL.
Yeah.
It
comes more natural for you that way.
Yes, it's just the language for me. It's the easiest to say it, so that's how I say it.
And like Douglas started a topic on Star Trek Guide calls, you know, is it better to say pound or hash PHPBB dash mod?
Yes.
You know, because one of the things he said when he said, you know, go to the, oh, I think it was the mod authors convention, and he said it was going to be at the pound PHPBB dash mod. And the team members got on and said, no, it's hash. Both are correct. Maybe in Europe. Well, actually, one may be correct in Europe, but the other one is correct in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because if somebody told me hash PHPBB dash mod, I would have said, what?
Another thing that I would say, it's a bit code guideline, but it's the modifications database policy. Subsilver 2 edits not in the main modix file, that kind of things. Mod author should read not only the code guidelines, but also the modifications documentation, because there are important things in it, and they don't read it. I just look at the mod, and I see just subsilver 2 templates edits in the main modix file, and that's not allowed.
Oh, you're talking about the PHPBB mod packaging guidelines?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not allowed to have the edits in the main modix file, and it is a reason to deny the mod. Just because it's perfect, but it contains one edit for a template for subsilver, and that's not allowed.
Yeah, I should point out that there has been a bit of a policy change on the packaging for the way templates are done. If some of you remember before, we said that PHPBB 3 mod packaging guidelines, you must put ProSilver, SubSilver 2, any other styles you want, you have to put them in the templates directory. The instructions for them, the files for them need to be in the templates directory. We want to clarify that, and a bit of a policy change. We need to change some of our documentation, but the mod team has decided that ProSilver edits and instructions go in the main modx file, not in a separate modx file. I don't think your mod will be denied if you put it in a separate one, because I know there has been some mods.
ProSilver is still allowed in the templates direction.
Yeah, it's still
also allowed in the main modx file.
SubSilver
isn't allowed in the main modix file.
If many of you are familiar with the way that we do languages, where the main English language edits and instructions are in the main modix file, and then any additional languages that you supply are in the languages directory. And it's basically the same thing now for the templates as well, where ProSilver is the only required style that we have. SubSilver 2 is optional, but ProSilver needs to be included with your mod, and you can put that. It's best to put that in the main modx file. It's still going to be allowed in the templates directory. We won't deny it based on that, but you should put it in the main modx file.
Yep. We only deny it if SubSilver 2 is in the main modx file.
Right, or any other style. Yeah.
Yes. And for this, I'm looking at this moment at the mod, and I just see it here, so that's the reason I want another time to say it.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is the language XML files, or the modx instructions for the language files, need to be in the ISO code format.
Yes.
So, for example, if your language is... I'm thinking German, it would be DE.XML, I believe.
Yes.
If it's US language file, or if it's US English as opposed to British English, which is the default and should be included in the default modx file, but if it's US English, it should be called EN-US.XML. So it will be it needs to be the ISO code when you include your modx language files. So, just so you know. And I believe everybody is the first to hear it on here, because we haven't even posted an announcement on that yet.
I believe it's in the documentation.
To use the ISO code for naming?
Yes.
I gotta go look at that. I should read our own documentation.
I say nothing, David.
One thing that people do need to remember, too, is that because PHP-3 is so new, a lot of the documentation is still in a little bit of flux as we try and nail down some of our policies and, you know,
We need to find out which policy is the best. It's also new, not only for the mod authors. And we need to look at the policy. What can be done in a different, better way? Of can we? It's just all new. And mod authors are complaining about that the policy is not as good as they want, and they will change things. Just open a topic in more Fridays discussion and say, this is maybe a better way to do that, and then we will look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing we do is we aren't blind to community input. So if the community thinks that something should be done differently, we're certainly open to your input. Doesn't mean we'll always implement it, but we have implemented a lot. You know, a lot of people have come to us and said, oh, you know, you should do it this way, or it would be better to do that this way. And we have made those changes. So
there are already changes made because input from the community.
And if you want clarification on an issue, go to Mod Authors Discussion, open a new topic, and say, hey, in this particular instance, you know, what do you do here, or what's the policy on this or that, or, you know, if you want clarification, open a topic there and we'll reply to it.
There is currently a topic about it with ProSilver and SubSilver discussion of where they should go. Mm-hmm. Let me see if you can find a topic.
Yeah, I saw that one
here.
I saw that one on there, and they're like, oh, you're my mod.
It was with Prime Hello, and he discussed with Dwody Eric about what the requirements are. And Eric said a bit different, or said it's something different as in our documentation was. Mm-hmm. And after that, we changed the policy. And that isn't in the documentation yet, but there's now a topic about where it's explained what the new policy is.
Yeah, because we were denying mods that were that contained the ProSilver edits in the main modx file because they needed to be separate, and that was the modx policy from before, and we changed that policy to allow ProSilver edits in the main modx file.
Yeah.
So that's one of those examples. I'm gonna. I think we've about exhausted those topics. We're at 52 minutes now, so I'm going to go ahead and start closing down the show. Did you guys have any additional comments on it so far?
No, I have nothing anymore. I think we've discussed a lot about format authors.
I don't think the topic's exhausted yet. I think we're exhausted, so we can probably call it there.
Yeah. Michael's been rather quiet. Are you there, Michael?
I am.
There he is. Okay.
We scared him off with our mods discussion.
He likes security and spam. If we talk about security and spam, he's there. Spam, 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 spam.
Nasty Vikings.
All right, so the mod of the week this week is called Prime Memberless Filter by author name is Prime Halo. What this mod does is it basically will add a form field to the memberless page, which allows for filtering of the memberless by username or the start of a username. Now, I thought that was actually already possible because you could just add a star and it would search for the...
Yes, it was possible. I personally validated the mod. It added text fields at the top of the member list, and there you can type some charters that you want to start with it. So it's not limited to one charter. It's limited to more.
Oh, I see. So it's more of a sort parameter.
Yes.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. So instead of... So instead of just ascending or descending based on which, you know, if the name of the username that you're on, you can, there's some more options that are basically available for sorting.
Nah, it's you search with it. It's you type, for example, you know the first two characters of a name, and you can type it in that field, and then display it all usernames with that first two characters in the name.
But can't you already do that? Because if
no,
you,
it sounds like it, does it basically add the star automatically at the end of it? Or is it before and after? So you just type in two characters of a name and it searches for all usernames with those two characters?
I'll have to install it and see what it does, because I'm not really understanding. Because you can, when you're in the member list, you can click on find a member, the button there, and a bunch of fields will open, and then you can, you know, you can search for a username based on... Yeah. What it starts with, ends with, contains, whatever, using stars as your basically your wild card. So you can search for example, if you went in and typed star life, you would get my name in there along with everybody else's names who ended with life. Or if you went in there and typed highway star, then you would get everybody's names in there who started with highway. You know, so basically, you know, you can do some of those things by default. So I have to install them all and see what.
You can do it by default, but it's a bit
point.
It's at a field at where it wasn't impossible. You need to click at a link and then you can search as it. So it's an addition to the member list.
Okay.
You don't need to click at I believe search a member, then you got some fields. Now you got now a text or an input field near the list with charters at the real member list.
Okay, and the link for that will be in the show notes as well, so you can go see that. That's a mod that's been recently validated for PHPBB3. So
yes.
Check that out. And there's been some new mods validated for PHPBB3, so I'll encourage you to go ahead and go check those out. We'll start. Our mod validation process has increased since the release of RC7. as I've mentioned before on the show, it was a bit on hold since RC5 because there were some changes that we knew were coming up that were going to invalidate a lot of mods. So we said, well, let's just wait on validation until these changes come through and we see what their impact are going to be on the mods. And then once that happened, then we resumed validation. So that's why a lot of the mods were in there for a long time.
Yes. And to be true, there is one of your mods is also validated last week.
Yes. Yeah, I'll feature that one next week.
But you didn't that for this week. Like you didn't did last time.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be roused by Douglas when I talk about that. All right, and the style of the week is called Brushed Metal by Robin Herman, it appears. And basically this style is it's kind of a cool one where it's got like it's a brushed metal look to the body of the style. It's based on the ProSilver design, and if it will load up here for me any day now, I can look at it. Their server must be offline. Come on. Okay, well, I can't look at it right now, but basically it's got a flash header, and I think you might be able to put in your own text in there, and then it's got a ProSilver layout with the brushed metal backgrounds on, like, the topics and forums, and they have a real nice rollover color and everything, so it's kind of cool. Dark-ish style, but not a dark style. So that gives you an idea. If you want to suggest either a mod or style of the week that you want featured on PHPBB Weekly, you can bookmark the style on Delicious, the social bookmarking site. That's del.icio.us. And bookmark it phpbbwmod for the mod that you want featured, or phpbbwstyle for the style that you want featured. And we don't always feature mods and styles that are in the mod database on phpvb.com. Though we try to, especially for mods and for styles, that's not really possible because the styles database is not up yet. And they are working on that, and they hope to have it up soon.
I believe you also worked on it? Or?
I was supposed to do the top frame for it, mm-hmm. but I was slammed that week. I got two jobs came in, and so I couldn't do anything for it. And I think Arisar ended up creating something very cool for it, which you'll be excited. Yeah. I don't think you've seen it yet.
I have seen it.
Oh, you have? Oh, yeah.
It's linked in our channel.
Yeah. The style authors have something to look forward to there. The style demos are going to be available for both PHPBB 2 and PHPBB 3. So they will not just be limited to version 3. And the link for that style will be in the show notes at the end of the show. And when Douglas posts this episode and the last episode on there, we'll have show notes for both of them. As usual, you can go to phpbbweekly.net to submit questions, view show notes, and listen to previous episodes. We're also on iTunes. PHPBB Weekly is a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com, so where you can listen to all kinds of different tech podcasts. The next episode will be next Saturday, November 3rd. At same time, noon Eastern, 1600 UTC. I am not sure I will be able to make it because I am moving back to Nashville, Tennessee from Dallas during that time. So maybe I'll do it while we're driving. I don't know. We'll have to see. Doubtful I'll be there. We do hope to have David MJ on a future episode in November. And also I will have a special guest, one of my coworkers, will be joining us on a future episode in a couple of weeks, who is a brilliant network engineer, and he was one of the computer operators and engineers that worked at TSU and various other large universities, I believe in California and Texas, that built some of the very first computers that were ever made and operated. These were long before the personal computers were created, so the majority of public knew about them but had either never seen them or never operated them, and even fewer even operated them. So he was one of the very, very few that operated some of the first computers. And so he has a lot of stories to tell about how they operated and what they worked on. For people who saw the computer that wore tennis shoes, and the computer that was used in that movie, and he operated on those computers. That particular computer, I'll bet you he actually operated. And so he has some very cool stories to tell, and that will be really interesting to listen to. I still got to get Douglas's approval on it, but I'm pretty sure he'll agree. But Jim agreed to do it, so I think we'll probably
just do it in an episode where Douglas isn't there.
Douglas will want to be there for that, because for all of us who are younger guys who are learned programming back in, you know, the late 90s and 2000, you know, and when we were learned computers back in the early 90s and whatnot. But these guys are worked on computers and developed computers long before we were born. And so, you know, they were ahead of the computer revolution, so to speak. And so it will be very, very interesting to listen to some of his stories. Sometimes here at work, Handyman and I just will sit and listen to him to talk about a lot of the stories on about the computers and how they operated and just all kinds of cool stuff. So that will be an interesting show to listen to. Be sure to keep your eye out for an announcement regarding that. I'll be sure to send one out via the Starter Guide newsletter. So if you're not on Starter Guide, sign up on StarterGuide.com and you'll automatically get the newsletter. And that should wrap it up for David Lewis, known as Highway of Life, Francis Handyman, Paul from the modifications team, and for Michael Cunningham from the support team. Thanks for listening to PHPBB Weekly.